Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Eugene Herbert, the Chief Executive of Master Drive. Eugene Herbert, good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining me on Hi FM this afternoon.
Hi there, Simon. Nice to join you folks.
So you head up a really interesting organization, an organization that, amongst other things, talks about defensive driving and what to do in difficult situations. But before we get there, the article that I was referencing in VizTech about the fact that hijackings are increasing, is that correct?
You know, Simon, if I can talk to, firstly, the statistics, you know, there's that thing that says there's
Lies, damn lies, and then statistics.
So we've got to accept that that which is produced for us by the authorities are a pretty true representation of what is occurring. However, sometimes when we look at it, we have this, oh, reaction, you know. But if we talk to the reality, and I'm sure that most of us will realize that all business was impacted negatively by COVID. Yeah. You've got to agree.
Sure.
And that's true of the crime. That's a business. The syndicates operate. Clearly, they lost a lot of potential, and therefore, they're on the increase. And we've seen it. It's not just the increase in numbers, but the changed methods, you know, throwing spikes across the road. Now, clearly, that's not about hijacking, because if they're right over the spikes, the tires are all shot. So where can they go? But certainly, crime is impacting on to a greater extent. And we've seen evidence of that in hijackings. But if you wouldn't mind, let's just analyze some of the things that people are responding to. They look at the places. Now, somebody says, and obviously it's in township areas where there's increased density for whatever it is that the syndicates operate there, great. But when we start defining areas, and I'm glad you mentioned Sandton as an example, it's a pretty big place.
Exactly.
But somebody looks at it and says, no, well, there's lots of hijackings in Sandton.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm safe. I don't live there. But you know what? You may drive through Sandton. You may go visit your friends, relatives, and you may head office may be there or something like that. So let's not be too caught up with the fact that where they're taking place. Because what we certainly advocate as a training organization is that you should have an increased level of awareness irrespective of where you are, and that's without being paranoid. So if we accept that, and it's something that becomes part of our everyday routine, it's no major deal. And along with the things, and if you'd like, we can unpack a few things that motorists can do to ensure that they don't
want you to
become victims.
That was where I was going with this. I'd love you to do that.
Yeah.
I'd also just like to ask you, before we do that, are there any particular times of day? You know, before it used to be early evening, early morning, when you're leaving, when you're coming back. Has anything changed in the modus operandi?
Okay. It's interesting when you start looking at the times of day. Clearly, there are certain times that make it extremely difficult to hijack a vehicle. For example, in traffic, where's he going to go? But having said that, that's one of the occasions when the smash and grab guys are very active, because just as you can't move out the vehicle with a hijacker, you're not going to be able to leave your car and chase after the guys who's nabbed your wallet, your phone, or whatever it is. So certainly from a hijacking point of view, dense traffic is an inhibitor. But we do know that certain times of the day, when we are approaching intersections, for example, and I don't think it was shown extensively in the figures that came out, but we do know that the greater majority of hijackings occur outside one's home and at intersections. Yes, theirs occur at business premises, shopping centers, etc. So if we're aware of the fact that an intersection, and that means that we must be vigilant. In fact, I was speaking to somebody the other day. You know, they tell you that you must be observant. But what does it mean to be observant?
Good question.
You know, we see these things, but do we interpret them in a manner that makes us react to them in a way that we should be? So in other words, we're driving up to an intersection and we know we go through them regularly, etc. We travel on our way home to work. And we don't notice the people there. You must agree. We avoid the guy who's selling stuff or begging, because we don't want to look in the eyes. We feel guilty. Mm-hmm. But we should be a lot more observant, because if there's people there that don't belong, surely the alarm bells should start ringing and saying, hey, hold on a sec. There's somebody there that shouldn't be there. So our attention is probably then going to be focused more on that person. And we know, of course, hijackers don't work alone. there's several of them, maybe under the influence of drugs, alcohol, etc. So if there's a number of people or potential hiding place, we should be very conscious of it. And here's one good practical thing.
Yeah.
When we approach an intersection and we see that it's red, the traffic light is red, what is it that we drive straight up to it, brake at the last moment, dive straight onto our cell phone to catch up on messages, etc.? What are you making yourself?
Yeah.
An ideal victim. So instead of doing that, approach the intersection a little bit more slowly, have a look what's going on around, and time it so that when it changes to green, just be careful of taxis coming the opposite way, by the way, and you can now drive through the intersection without coming to a stop. Because that's the one thing that has to happen. The vehicle has to be stationary before it can be hijacked.
Yeah, this is interesting stuff. What is also interesting is that the Business Tech article didn't refer to any particular vehicles any more. It used to be that certain brands were way more hijackable than others. Gosh, I don't want to get into the brands themselves, but are we still in that place? Or are you a greater risk if you drive X rather than Y?
It's interesting, and I'm glad you avoided mentioning brands because, you know, sometimes time and unforeseen circumstance really determines whether you become a victim of it. And yes, we do know that certain brands are more popular. But here's an interesting philosophy that I've always adopted.
Yeah.
We know that certain brands are probably at higher risk, but we also know that swimming pools are dangerous. Children drown in swimming pools. Does that stop us putting in swimming pools?
Good argument.
No. Yeah. We take prevention. We put up fences. We put in mats or something like that to protect it. And therefore, if we know that certain vehicles have an increased level of risk, we just adopt slightly higher risk prevention techniques, which means we're more observant. We don't sit there talking on our cell phones and absorbed in putting on makeup and things like that. But interestingly, I think they broke them down into, when it said types of vehicles, you'll notice the proliferation of sedans and hatchbacks. It's only natural that that's going to be the case because that's what most people drive. There used to be a time, and I'll mention the name because they don't make them anymore, a Nissan 1400. Remember the little bucky?
Yes, great demand. Do. Yes. It was as simple as anything.
Yeah, and they were really high on the list. But today, of course, there are all sorts of things. And if you looked at the stats over there, maybe you and I then should be saying, hey, hold on, we should buy an SUV or a station wagon because that's less likely to be hijacked. But you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And remember also, a lot of hijackings are to order. Syndicates will book a particular vehicle. And here's a word that we can maybe, and it's not referred to anywhere, where's an ideal place to go find the vehicle of your choice if you've got one on order for a syndicate? You go to the shopping center, okay, and there's a selection of vehicles. Now, if you watch that, particularly at the end of the day, and mommy comes out with her groceries, she's probably going to be going home. So if I follow her, I will see where she lives. I will see how she approaches her driveway because, remember, that's one of the key areas that is going to be where we're vulnerable. And, of course, we see if they are a likely candidate. I come back tomorrow if it's during the week, and in all probability she comes home at the same time. Same route, and therefore we have now taken. So we need to be conscious of if we're leaving or exiting a shopping center, who's following me? Is it the normal traffic? Is it changed, etc.? But if there's one particular vehicle and it's got some characters in it that we think are a little bit suspicious, well, that's when we should have already made up our mind that we wouldn't go straight home. We go to a safe place, and we can make a call to, you know, the local security company. Sure. I don't know if your listeners are aware of it. The majority of them have an arrangement in place that you can call them, and they will meet up with you and drive you home. Now, what message is that sending to the potential hijacker? This is not a victim. This is a person who's aware of what's going on, so let me move my attention elsewhere.
Eugene Herbert, that was an amazing 10 minutes. Thank you so very much. Useful in the extreme. I think the big takeaway is, yep, increase your awareness because there is an increase. I want to thank you really for talking to us this afternoon. Hopefully that won't be the last time.
It's a pleasure. Anytime, eh? Anytime. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Do take care. Bye-bye.